worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example. Point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Jeremiah. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 26 responsibly. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands.
Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and the place where your glory abides.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. From that time on, after Peter's confession, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has been for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, Amanda was right. Tomorrow is Labor Day. And I did a little research on this holiday. It's been around since the 1880s, and it was always celebrated on the first Monday in September. The labor unions wanted to have a celebration sometime to break up that long stretch of time between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. So this is kind of a chosen a break time. For most of us, it's just an extra day for a beach barbecue, or it's the last day before school starts. But when it was created, it was dedicated to the social and economic achievements of the American worker. So more than a long weekend at the end of the summer, it's a national tribute to the contributions that workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. At least that's what the United States Department of Labor says about Labor Day. It is a day off for workers. But the word of God today is not about a day off. It's a call to daily life and labor of discipleship. Following Jesus is a job that we are recruited for, but Jesus certainly didn't take a marketing class from the Carnegie School of Winning Friends. Who would want to be a disciple the way Jesus invites? Deny yourself. Carry your cross. Follow me. Why would anyone want to do that? One of my sisters and her husband are always being recruited. They're consultants. And they're always being recruited for different jobs. And some places treat them like royalty, putting them up in fancy hotels with all the amenities, and they're wined and dined. I would really be surprised if they hear anything from the recruiter's mouth about denying yourself and carrying your cross and sacrificing. I'm sure that the recruiter paints a job that picture that's all rosy, no downsides at all. Well, Jesus must have been out with a cold the day that they taught how to recruit, because he doesn't have that paint the rosy picture. His gospel truth is different than that. The truth about being a disciple of Jesus and the difficult labor that is what Jesus talks about. So why do we do it? And why do we encourage other people to be disciples of Jesus? So three questions need to be asked when considering Labor Day or labor life of discipleship. First, how does one become a disciple? And what are the responsibilities of discipleship? And finally, how do we live out that vocation of discipleship? Well, baptism is the answer to the first question. How does one become a disciple? Many of us were baptized as infants or children even before we could speak the name of Jesus Christ. Someone stood at the baptismal font and spoke our name. And in the presence of the faith community, our parents and our godparents made promises to God on our behalf. At baptism, whether we were baptized as a child, an infant, or an adult, we became connected to God by a strong and unbreakable cord. When the water was poured, or when you were immersed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, a new life was begun. When we were sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, our life of discipleship began. Lots of things change as we grow older, but not our relationship with God. That baptismal covenant remains unchanged. We are loved, and we love others in the name of Jesus Christ because we are baptized. We are the living and breathing signs of God's love in this world because we are baptized. We are disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, because we are baptized. And because we are baptized, we have responsibilities. I want you to look with me again at that second reading that Darlene just read for us from Paul's letter to the Romans. That letter, and particularly this passage, lists enough responsibilities to keep us busy from now until the rest of our lives. Let love be genuine. Hate evil. Hold fast to what's good. Love one another, show honor, be zealous, be ardent, serve the Lord, hope, be patient, persevere in prayer, contribute, extend hospitality, bless those who persecute you, rejoice, weep, live in harmony, do not be haughty, associate with the lowly, be humble, be truthful, do not repay evil, live peaceably with all, never avenge yourself, feed your enemies, give them something to drink, overcome evil with good. Well, that'll take you through the afternoon. That's plenty of work for us to do. And did you notice in this one, and in some ways random selection from the book of Romans, that it's about our responsibilities for others? It's not so much about me and Jesus. It's about me and you, how we get along, how our lives together are a witness to God's love for us and our love for God. We are to put our mind on divine things, not on human things. Being a disciple, just looking at that one passage, is definitely a labor but it's not something that we can do on our own. And we don't have to do it on our own. It's only possible in Jesus Christ. Peter, that man of rock, who stepped out in faith in Jesus Christ, sunk like a rock when he took his eyes off Jesus. Peter, that man of faith who proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, and was himself proclaimed as the foundation stone for the church, for the followers of Jesus. Peter, who, taking the human way rather than Jesus' way, simply gets in the way. Jesus tells him, get out of the way. Get behind me. Peter forgot how to be a disciple on the way, and he needed a lesson in following. Get behind. Follow the leader. Being a disciple isn't the way of the world. It's the way of God. It's self-denial, carrying the cross, following, being on the way, not being in the way. So how do we do that? How do we live our vocation as disciples of Jesus Christ? Discipleship is not simply a recitation of a creed or even regular participation in the rituals of Christian community. We are disciples by baptism, and we are graced by God to act. As disciples, we cannot stand idle when others of God's children are homeless and unemployed or sick or abused. As disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot be silent when there is racism or economic injustice or any kind of discrimination. We cannot be uninvolved when our country and our world needs to hear that God's love is for all God's people, and that means equality and justice for all. We cannot fail in our daily prayer to call out the names of those who seek public office and to ask God to speak to their hearts and give them hearts for justice and hearts for peace and hearts for God's love. Take up your cross and follow me. These aren't easy words, but they are words of love, and they are words of action. So Labor Day is an opportunity for us to think about the work that we do in our society. And this Sunday, before Labor Day, is an opportunity to reflect on the work that we do as disciples of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, Jeremy talked about his mission trip to El Salvador and the persecution of the Christian churches there. This prayer that I want to end with was written by Bishop Romero, who was killed in 1980 while he was in the middle of a communion service. He lifted the bread at the words of institution and was shot. And this prayer is called, We Are Workers. It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. God bless the labor of our hands. God bless our discipleship. And God bless us on our way of following Jesus Christ, carrying the cross. Amen.